Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Courage, you connect your life to a transcendent cause. And when you do that, people aren't going to like you.
There have been other times when a danger upon the world required the services of singular individuals.
All right, so what do you want us to do? You know, we're exhausted. We haven't slept for 2 days.
Sweating is what we do, dear boy.
I won't fail you.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, our kids are growing up in a culture that preaches tolerance as one of the highest moral values known to society. And yet at some point in their faith journey, they're going to have to realize that there are issues in this world that simply do not line up with the Christian life. And it seems like that's getting more prevalent in our society today as well. Well, it takes courage to stand up for the right thing when the culture doesn't support your values. And the best way to teach our children about courageous living is to model that kind of lifestyle ourselves. At least that's my opinion. Well, during the next half hour, we're going to continue our discussion about how to start being intentional about teaching courage to our children. Author Paul Coughlin, he's a friend of mine, is here in studio for this continuing conversation on experiencing the difference courage makes. So stay with us right here on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, if you want to see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, if you go to apu.edu/blogs, you can read what real students have to say about their experiences, and they're pretty prolific and they're pretty profound too, so check that out today. So glad that you have tuned in for this special edition of the broadcast. In just a moment, you're going to hear part two of my conversation with Paul Coughlin, author of Unleashing Courageous Faith and No More Christian Nice Guy. We're going to talk about experiencing the difference courage makes. It was a day that Jim was a little under the weather, and so I was forced into service and happy to pinch hit. Now here's part two of that discussion. Welcome to Homeward. Paul Coughlin joining us in studio today. We're talking about capturing God's passion for your life. Paul is a noted author. He's written a number of books, and you've heard him on the Homeward broadcast before. No More Christian Nice Guy, No More Jellyfish, Chickens, or Wimps. I like that title. You actually got away with that one, too. I mean, was that your title, or did the publisher pick that?
It was one of a few, and we actually kind of tested it a little bit, and that was the one that came to the top. Even among some of the moms, I thought maybe the moms wouldn't be too crazy about that title. They really like it.
Well, Paul, welcome back to the broadcast.
Great to be here.
We're talking about courage. We're talking about how do we capture God's passion for our lives. And as you're talking about unleashing courageous faith, Paul, this is a continuing conversation. And you have a story that really illustrates the importance of putting this principle into action. You call it the parable of the chauffeur. Tell us this story. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, I have many examples of being in church for over 20-something years and hearing how we are supposed to behave, how the ideal Christian behaves. And one of them was this favorite illustration from the pulpit where there were three chauffeurs and they would go on a test drive. Of course, the first chauffeur, he would always get close to the edge and rocks would fall and all that kind of stuff as he's going around the corner to show his ability to drive and how good he was. And then, of course, you can imagine that toward the end, the third driver was the one who just played everything safe, took no chances, went very slow, but went up the hill. And, of course, we were led to believe that God was very, very complimentary of Mr. Mellow Yellow, who, you know, would never go faster in a zone to save his life. He'd be a horrible ambulance driver, for example.
Right.
And so we were led to believe that God's will really rested upon the one person who never took any chances and just always stayed within the lines, which is remarkable because Jesus took plenty of chances.
Right.
And he went out of the lines
all
many
the time.
Times.
Yeah.
So it was one of those that it's one of many, frankly, that have stayed with me for a long time. And as a result, with the best of intentions, many lives have been really torn apart because our lives expand or contract based upon how much courage we possess or we don't possess.
And what we do or don't possess as parents, especially then, we're going to pass on or don't pass on to our kids as well.
A great example would be that, you know, we're always encouraged to be very gentle with our kids, and that's true. But sometimes I believe gentleness can be a sin. Here's an example. You have a 2-year-old, and your 2-year-old commits an act of great folly. Who knows? Puts paint over her head. Well, you don't discipline that child. That's kind of a cute thing. And you can kind of laugh about that. The child does not have the moral development to really know what he has done or she has done. And so it is the right thing to respond gently to such a situation. When you find out that your 18-year-old is doing drugs, a gentle response could well be the absolute wrong response. You need a strong response in that situation. So Martin Luther King had this great expression, no man is good unless they bear antithesis in their soul. And that is to say, very much like Jesus, that we need to possess both tender and tough qualities as parents. And if we don't, we are negligent.
We are in a culture, though, Paul, that preaches tolerance above everything else.
Yeah.
And I remember here in California, we had an initiative on the ballot not too long ago.
Yeah.
And the rallying cry from the other side was no hate.
Yeah.
And yet, what we're talking about here is there are things that we should hate with a passion.
Oh, absolutely. We are called to hate things that are cruel,
right.
Things that are
the
wrong,
things that God hates.
Things that ruin people's lives. We are to defend human dignity. And again, you look at the people throughout history that atheists and others just can't ignore. It's the people through Christian conviction stood up for those, the timid and the weak and the oppressed, and said, you're not going to do it to these people. And what happens to such people? They usually get killed, like
right.
Martin Luther King.
Right.
And again, that's what courage does. Courage, you connect your life to a transcendent cause. And when you do that, people aren't going to like you. And the question becomes, who are you going to offend? You know, Bob Dylan, a number of years ago, saying that you're going to serve somebody.
Right, right.
When it comes to courage, you're going to offend someone. The issue is who you're going to offend, and are you offending for the right reason?
Paul Coughlin is in studio with us here on Homeward Today. We're talking about capturing God's passion for your life. His book is called Unleashing Courageous Faith. And Paul, as you were talking about the timid and the oppressed and the people who need to be stood up for, if you
yeah.
will, I can think of no larger gathering of those people than the elementary school playground. When
yes.
you think about it in this culture, and I know that this is a real passion of yours too, with the protectors, that's
yeah.
a new curriculum that you've created, and not to sound all silly here, but tell us a little bit about how that's an extension of what you're talking about in Unleashing Courageous Faith. I mean, teaching courage to kids.
That's right. Thank you very much. Yeah, the protectors is a faith-based response to adolescent bullying. I believe that Christians and other people of faith who believe in human dignity, that we are imbued with human dignity and value and worth and honor, according to Isaiah chapter 8. We should be the ones on the forefront, really, really standing up for people who are incapable of standing up for themselves. We do this both through Christian schools, as well as I'm asked to speak in public schools as well. I recently spoke in my hometown, received by the next morning 8 speaking requests from other places because
wow.
this is such a huge issue.
It is.
And they know that I come from a faith-based response, yet I don't bring faith into the presentation. You're not allowed to in public schools. But I think everyone agrees human dignity is human dignity. All truth is God's truth, according to John Calvin, and rightly so. So what the protectors allows the group of people missing in action when it comes to child-on-child aggression are the bystanders. Bystanders have far more power than they realize. 85% of all bullying takes place in front of other people, yet a measly 11% ever intervene on behalf of the person who's being bullied. Yet, 80% of bullying is verbal, not physical. So let's go where the greatest need is. If bystanders, all they have to do, and I teach kids to do this in our seminars, if all they do is say, like Jesus did, leave her alone, leave him alone, 58% of the time, the bullying ends within 5 seconds
and
or less.
And that sounds so simple, because I think I can hear a lot of kids, and I remember, you know, being on the receiving end of bullying
yeah,
when I was
here.
Younger, too. You're thinking, this is going to come to fisticuffs, you know,
yeah.
someone's going to get their nose broken or whatever, and yet something as simple as saying leave him or leave her alone is really going to diffuse an issue.
It really does, and I've done it myself. I did it in high school, and this person was much bigger than me, and that's what I said. He was picking on someone who had Down syndrome. I just said, leave him alone. I tried to sound like Charlton Heston. I'm pretty sure I sound like Mickey Mouse when I said it, because I was fearful. You know,
right.
you know, and we need to know something. We cannot be courageous unless we're fearful. We think that if I'm experiencing fear, I can't be courageous because mm-hmm. I'm taken out of the game. Most philosophers, and I agree with them, say you actually cannot be courageous unless you're scared. You can't express courage. So in that case, scared to death, but I did the courageous thing, and Greg left this poor kid alone. It allows kids to do something truly meaningful, and it allows them to get courage training. The fact is, very much like faith, courage is found in the doing. Mm. You can go ahead and read about it all day, but until you do it, you don't really grow courageously. And the funny thing is that the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Well, and we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break, because our kids are growing up in a culture where there's less of an emphasis on the doing and more of just kind of experiencing and just kind of being. This is a concept that we really have to drill down with our kids on. And I want to talk to you more about this on the other side of this break. Paul Coughlin in studio with us. We're talking about Capturing God's Passion for Your Life and his new curriculum for the Protectors. His book is called Unleashing Courageous Faith. And we'll hear more from Paul in just a moment when Homeward continues. Welcome back. We're talking about capturing God's passion for your life, and not just for guys, but it's fun to hear a song like that every now and again, kind of get the passion and the courage flowing again here in the studio. Paul Coughlin's with us, and Paul's written a book called Unleashing Courageous Faith. He's also created curriculum for kids called The Protectors, and this is an anti-bullying, that doesn't necessarily, did I say that right? Anti-bullying?
Yeah, it's anti-bullying or child-on-child aggression, that's right. It's designed to help targets, bullies, bystanders, and authority, all four people in what we call the theater of bullying.
Everybody's involved. I mean, it's not just the bully has the problem, let's get him help.
That's right. That's right. Everyone's involved. And to think of it like a theater is really good, because most of it is very staged. Mm-hmm. And if you can get the different characters in that theater to behave a little differently, and many times the situation goes away.
It's a lot different than the theater of dreams that we like to enjoy every Saturday during the season. Our kids are growing up in a culture that has less and less respect for authority than generations past. And I think that you think about a schoolyard situation where you've got a couple of kids who are lacking in courage, one's bullying the other, and there's other kids sitting around and they don't have the courage. And then maybe a teacher comes in or a coach or someone to intervene, to step up courageously. And the kids might look at that and go, oh, come on, just let them figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we address that as parents to our kids?
Well, there is some truth to that. Keep in mind that bullying, by definition, is unequal power.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes when you have two kids facing off, it's just two kids facing off. And there'll probably be some tough words said. They may regret it later on. But if they're two people of roughly equal power, it's technically not bullying. In a situation like that, it might be best to let them work it out on their own. But when you have this unequal power base, one of the most unfair things you can do to a kid is say, well, just ignore it and it'll go away. Mm. As adults, we would never tolerate that answer. Let me give you an example. Roger, let's say you came into work at Homeward and you're coming in, you got coffee in one hand, books in the other, and someone runs up behind you, Cindy runs up behind you, kicks the books out of your arm.
Yeah, she wouldn't hurt the coffee.
She wouldn't. I could tell. Pushes you to the ground, laughs at you, then goes back to her office. There isn't an adult who would tolerate that kind of behavior. But for some reason, we expect kids to tolerate having their dignity stripped from them. Martin Luther King said that we have learned to tolerate the intolerable when it came to segregation in the South. Mm-hmm. Likewise, and I believe it, taking care, addressing bullying in school, I believe, is the next move in America's civil rights movement. We have learned to tolerate the intolerable, and we need a faith-based response, very much like the civil rights movement was.
There's so many things that we're having to teach our children that our parents didn't have to deal with because the culture is so different, and it is a pretty materialistic culture. And I know you believe that this can actually rob us and therefore our children of this thumos that we've been talking about, this inner fire. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. It's a great question. Yeah, there are things that grow our courage and there are things that drain our courage, materialism being one of the biggest things that drain us of courage. How many of us, I would argue that many of our regrets, especially like in the workplace, that we didn't stand up and say the right thing. What the main reason why is that it was tied to a paycheck. We needed to make some money. And here we are as people. We see something that's clearly wrong. People getting really hurt, being treated cruelly, illegally. Yet we keep our mouth shut and we go home. Now, we are ripped up inside because our integrity is largely leaked out of our toes and we know it. Yet we become cowards, essentially, because of a need to make money. Now, it isn't so much the need to make money that's wrong, but there comes a point in life that some of us really could do the right thing, say the right thing, but our homes are so big, our cars are so expensive, our wardrobes are so unnecessary that we're not necessarily working to live, we're working to impress. And so materialism has a way of just draining us of courage. I argue that once you introduce money, courage goes out the window by at least 85%.
And kids will deal with this in a similar fashion based on who's got the nicest toys, and I want to be in that group.
Absolutely. And if they see their parents being cowards, by the way, cowardice is a sin in the book of Revelation. It tells us that cowards are in the same category with murderers, fornicators, and sorcerers. Not exactly a good group of people to be on vacation
with. Not at all.
When they see us behaving like cowards, we're modeling cowardice behavior. We're telling them this is how you get ahead in life.
That's not the way we want to raise our kids, for sure. We talked earlier about Mr. Gentleman, Mr. Mellow Yellow, and how that can really wreak havoc on a marriage, or especially in a parent-child relationship. Talk about how we can teach our kids about chivalry. I mean, and chivalrous behavior, not just being the nice person, but what it means to be courageous in showing chivalry.
Yeah, that's a great point, because if you look at the history of what it means to be a gentleman, many of us probably wouldn't like a gentleman on two grounds. One, he was kind of arrogant. The other one is that historically, gentlemen actually would stand up for the honor of other people. They would actually go blow to blow if that's what was necessary.
That doesn't sound very gentle to me.
It isn't. And if you look at Jesus, he was not gentle all the time. And in fact, if you changed his name to Jim, which I did in one of my books, many of us would say he didn't even behave like a good Christian. Frankly, Jesus was a very bad Christian man, given today's standards of what a Christian is supposed to be. Courage is more caught than taught. And that is that when we see an example of courage, whether it be on television, remember Tiananmen Square with that gentleman standing in front of, you know, I've pointed that out to my kids. I said, you guys, that is courage. That's what courage looks like. When I have had the opportunity to do something courageous, I've pointed out to them what I did there. I felt fear, yet I still did it. You know, for a lot of people, the number one fear is public speaking. I've been doing it for a while, but I still get, you know, a little antsy at it sometimes because it's so important.
I think the technical term is butterflies.
Butterflies.
Something like that.
And so what will happen is I'll say, you know what? I feel these. Most other people do feel them. Yet they also know a few things about fear. Fear has a few chinks. One of the best things to do when feeling fear in order to be courageous later is to become animated. Fear freezes us. Mm. I know a lot of people before they speak or they do these important things. I know one guy who actually does karate chops in the behind the scene. Well, we've learned a few things about fear. We can melt it a bit, and usually that's through animation. So be animated. Don't sit there and stew in that fear. Physically move, physically pray. And it has a way of melting these things.
And you describe this process as drawing close to your fears and the importance of getting close to fears as well as your strengths.
You've got to close the gap. A buddy of mine is a pastor in Clarksville, Tennessee. He actually teaches people in the Army hand-to-hand combat. Hmm. And he said, you know what, I can teach them techniques. I can teach them all kinds of stuff. I can show them videos. The hardest thing to help these men do is what he calls close the gap. By standing too far away from the opponent, you actually are in a very dangerous position. You actually need to get in on their body in order to remain safe. It seems it is paradoxical, but a lot of our lives revolve around paradox. So my advice in the book to both men and women is to take a small hill. Find out what causes indignation in your life. The word indignation means much to grieve. What makes you grieve? What hurts you inside? Chances are that is where you're needed. That is the battlefield where you're needed. Find a way to get involved in that area and take a small hill at first. You take that small hill and it does away, it creates encouragement. It grows courage inside of you. And then you have the greater capacity to take another hill. And another hill, and another hill. Again, courage is found in the doing.
we've been talking, and the time has just flown by, Paul. We're talking about building courage in our own lives and also modeling and teaching that courage to our kids as well. I want to take the closing moments here and have you share a story about your son, because this is such a tender story, but also it's a story of courage and chivalry as well. Tell us about the school dance.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, this is our son who was actually pretty shy at first. He was so shy he wouldn't pay for a candy bar at a lady at the counter.
Uh-huh.
And so as part of our courage training with him, he would want this candy bar, but he wanted us to buy it for him. And he would say, buddy, if you want that, that's cool. Here's the money and go ahead and buy it. And he would look at the lady and then wither and put the candy bar back. And so we did this for months.
Yeah.
And eventually he did it. And eventually, make a long story short, he became student body president of his school. Mr. Shy became student.
Yeah.
Well, we worked with him for years. We coached him out of his shyness and toward courage. Well, at one of his dances, he was voted homecoming prince. And the princess, it was kind of a joke, unfortunately. They voted for someone who I think has mild Down syndrome. Mm. And so the classmates kind of played a joke on her. And so my son had, he was at this, what I call a portal moment, where he could have given in to the negative, cruel peer pressure and not danced with her, which was customary. Or if he did, you know, hold her very far away from his body,
make
right? As if she were contaminated. And my son told me later, he said, Dad, if I had given in to the joke, I would have been a coward. And I write about that at the very beginning of the book. And he said, I wasn't going to be a coward. In fact, I was going to put the joke back on everyone else. He treated her like a lady for the entire night. And he as a father, could you be more proud?
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What a great example and a fitting way for us to conclude this conversation. Paul, thank you so much. The book, again, is called Unleashing Courageous Faith. Paul Coughlin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that concludes part two of our conversation with Paul Coughlin here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about experiencing the difference courage makes. And you've been listening to an interview that I had the privilege of recording with author Paul Coughlin, filling in for Dr. Jim Burns, who joins me now in studio. And Jim, this is such a powerful topic, both for parents as well as kids, isn't it?
Well, you're right. We just don't talk on courage. And I appreciate Paul because he writes about courage.
Yeah.
And he doesn't always do it with the politically correct, you know, feeling. And
nice
I really
thinking, yeah.
am always blessed by him. I'm always touched by his words. And I'm touched by the fact that as I listen to this particular program, really great insight and wisdom. And I think it's something that our listeners are going to really learn a lot about. Courage is critical. You know, a lot of times when kids are little, we say, well, be brave. You know, we're talking about, you know, the dentist or the first day of preschool or things like that. But how many of us actually intentionally go about helping our kids become courageous?
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking about a young kid recently who decided to go on the mission field. And I said to them, you know, and I think it was after I read Paul's book, but I said, you know, that's a courageous move because you're not going to make a whole lot of money. And, you know, there's where they were at, there was going to be AIDS and, you know, all these various things. They looked at me and they said, thank you. Nobody said it that way.
Huh.
And I just used the word courage, but it is something that today's kids are courageous, and especially when parents lean into it.
Absolutely. And that's what we are here for here at Homeward, to help you as a parent lean into the faith that your kids are developing, help to show them what it means to be courageous in their faith, and then also be that support that they need when they're taking a step, whether it's going in the mission field or just regular workforce. Thanks for joining us today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Before we leave, I want to thank you for your prayers and faithful financial support of this ministry. We can't do it without either one of those components. Thanks for praying for us. And if you can give a gift right now as we come up on the end of our fiscal year, write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.